More stories set in hockey to come on Only a Game's take on hockey night or hockey morning or hockey whenever you're listening to the program. But now it's time for three stories you should know. And I'm joined by Sports Illustrated's Joan Neeson and by The Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Welcome back to both of you.
Belle!
Thanks for having me.
Joan, you're up first this week.
I am going to talk about mental health in sports, which until this week, when I heard those words, I always thought straight to CTE in football. I mean, the NFL's head injury crisis has dominated headlines, but it's not always super relatable, especially to someone like me who my football career ended when I broke my arm in flag football in fifth grade. That changed recently, first when DeMar DeRozan and then Kevin Love, two NBA players, spoke publicly about their struggles with mental health. These are players who don't wear helmets, who don't ram their heads into other men for a living, and they're dealing with issues that sound familiar probably to millions of people: panic attacks, depression, anxiety, loneliness. I covered Kevin Love when he played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I have to say, Kevin was about as relatable as any pro athlete could be, in my opinion. But he was always very private. Seeing him be so honest, though, this week in his story in the Players Tribune about his panic attack he suffered last November, it was really encouraging to read that and to see that he was able to kind of open up and, it seems like, let a lot of things out that had been stewing. But it couldn't help but be a little bit sad when I thought of all the stress he'd been holding in and all the stress that probably dozens, hundreds of other athletes are holding in the same position. And in Love's story, he mentions that the Cavaliers helped set him up with a therapist after he suffered that panic attack. More and more teams are hiring sports psychologists, other professionals, to give their players a mental edge on the court. But I wonder if we shouldn't be separating the sports and the psychology into two separate things. Love said in the story that when he's talking with his therapist, he rarely talks about basketball at all. And I think that's important. And I wonder if, with all the resources athletes are provided, I think a proactive approach to therapy and mental health seems like a logical next step.
I would go so far as to say that, you know, Kevin Love is a NBA title holder, but this might end up being one of the great legacies of his athletic career, is destigmatizing mental health. And DeMar DeRozan as well, and other athletes who have come forward on this. I mean, this is not revolutionary stuff, the idea of talk therapy being beneficial to persons, but especially in an environment like professional athletics, it is still something that feels a little bit unapproachable and distant. And so just the idea that people are talking about it, especially young people, especially people who look up to athletes and are influenced by them, is a tremendous thing.
My only worry with Kevin Love's piece in the Players Tribune is that people who are unfamiliar with depression and panic attacks may read it and say, oh, all I have to do is acknowledge with a therapist that I'm sad about my grandmother's death and I'm all set. And Kevin Love says he sees the therapist when the team is at home, when he can work it into his schedule. For a lot of folks dealing with these kinds of issues, a more significant commitment of time and energy is probably necessary. And that's really the only small problem I have with the Love piece in the Players Tribune.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think another thing it doesn't touch on is the fact that these can be very expensive services depending on your health care.
Yeah.
And obviously, Kevin Love has every resource at his fingertips, and that's great that he's using them. But for a lot of people, it's a financial commitment as well.
I would agree with all that, but I would also say just the idea of getting anybody in the door in a therapy situation is incredibly beneficial. And oftentimes, you know, the therapist will be able to create a strategy for people, whether it's both an economic one or a time one or even a pharmacological one. There's no sort of one-size-fits-all approach here, and I would commend anybody for taking that step.
We're going to stay in the NBA for my topic. In his 15th NBA season, LeBron James said on Wednesday night that he felt his play was, and I'm quoting, at an all-time high. And he might be right. He scored 39 points in a game against the Nuggets that night. And he's got some believers, a Philadelphia business-sponsored billboards in Cleveland urging LeBron to leave Cleveland and join the 76ers. In L.A., there are billboards urging James to become a Laker. I read an article this week that said that in order to persuade James to stay in Cleveland, the owner of the Cavaliers might offer him a piece of the team. I don't even know if that's legal, but it certainly speaks to his desire to have James stay around. Anyway, my question is so much focus on one player in a team game a good idea for the NBA, for any franchises yearning to sign him, and for fans who value basketball at its best, anyway, because it's five players at a time working together rather than one guy in the spotlight? Jason, what do you think?
Oh, I think LeBron James is unbelievably worth it. He's been to 7 straight finals, and in each instance, were you to remove him from the team, that team would have not made the final. So his value is unquestionable. I'm very happy, Bill, also that the professional athlete free agency is keeping the billboard industry alive. You know, isn't it so strange in a digital environment that there is still great belief that driving by something on the highway is the most persuasive medium? You know, basketball has proven itself, maybe for the worse, over the last decade or so, to be a very individual choice driven league. And what I mean by that is that the movement, the migration of just a handful of players can turn the balance completely around. And so LeBron James, wherever he ends up, is going to be absolutely a game changer for that franchise. So he's special that way.
This is LeBron. This isn't even another guy in the top echelon. This is the top of the mountain when it comes to basketball. And he's also proven to be, you know, such a great guy on all levels. You know, any team would be lucky to have him on the court and off the court, it seems like, for what he does for the city and just the team and for younger players. I'm inclined to agree with Jason there.
Well, you guys seem to be making the argument that he should just switch teams every year and bring what he brings to a city, to every city, and then everybody would be happy, at least for a year. Maybe that's the way to handle it.
Maybe he plays like 5 games for each team, and then whatever team ends up, you know, at the top of the standings. But again, I want to go back to the fact that the key word here is billboards. I mean, we're going to be sitting here in the spring or in the early summer, and LeBron James is going to be saying something like, listen, I was about to sign with Team X, but I was on Interstate 95 and I saw that billboard crying out to me, and wow, it just changed my mind.
Well, I understand that you're saying now the key word is billboard. I was led to believe that this week you thought the key word was bullpen cart.
Yes, a brilliant segue, Littlefield. We are returning to retro technologies to seduce both the athlete and the fan. I'm talking about bullpen carts. Bullpen carts were a phenomenon, which some of us will remember, were introduced in the 50s, but sort of peaked in the 60s and late 70s. They were in ballparks, and their purpose was to shuttle relievers into the pitching mound. And they were these goofy contraptions that kind of looked like a AMC Gremlin matched with something in a children's book. And they had little hats on them. They're basically modified golf carts. And they went away. We haven't seen them in a generation until now. The Arizona Diamondbacks announced this week that they will bring back 2. Not one, but 2. Golf carts. They will be the first in the franchise's 21-year-old history. It will not be compulsory. I know you guys are worried about that, of whether or not the relievers are going to have to take the bullpen carts. The Diamondbacks are respectful of the fact that some pitchers might not want to seem lazy being chauffeured to the mound. I applaud this phenomenon. I like it. Now all I want is $5 box seats, and then we're good.
Oh, good luck with that. Joan, what do you think? You happy to see the return of the bullpen cart, at least in Arizona?
You know, I love anything retro when it comes to baseball. I also really love vehicles driving on baseball diamonds. One of my first memories of going to a baseball game was when Ozzie Smith retired and they gave him a car, or they drove him around in a car or something. And I was very impressed as a child. So I really like this in that sense. I also just love baseball. I love ridiculous things pertaining to baseball. So this is really in my lane.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you guys
again,
because just what baseball and the ballpark needs, somewhere else to slap a corporate logo.
Oh!
And here's another observation from the skeptical side. Are these going to be environmentally friendly, these bullpen carts? Are they going to run on wind power or perhaps solar power stored in a battery? I don't know. I wait to see. Arizona's got lots of sun. We'd like to see that, right? Beyond that, I'd simply say to the relief pitchers, don't forget to wave from the passenger seat. And I guess it's okay.
Bill, I thought you were going to say you objected because you were worried about a new wave of relief pitcher obesity and that this was going to lead to that. I do think that they are electric. I don't know how environmentally correct electric they are. I think it would be a great idea if they come up with an avocado oil-powered bullpen cart, and I would encourage this.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Sports Illustrated's Joe Neeson and The Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.